Stay tuned.
Good morning. A brighter day is here. Good morning. May we bring you cheer.
We've got time. We've got tunes. We've got time, tunes, and temperature.
Get up and go. It's today, you know, on KSCO Radio.
Welcome, everybody. This is the Saturday Special. My name is Cyril Watomski, sitting in for Michael Z. We'll have a kicker show with the guys that kick sometimes. Stay tuned. This is KSCO Saturday Special. We'll be back after all of the necessary music and promos here. Gonna be good. Gonna be interesting.
Good morning. Now stay right here on KSCO Radio.
So you're cruising along just a tad over the speed limit. What was it that made you get stopped by the CHP and get busted for a DUI? You're on Highway 9 and you want to overtake a cyclist. Just how far can you cross over the line in the middle of the road and not get a ticket? What about safe driving conditions? Bike helmets? Motorcycle safety? How fast during the commute on Highway 17 can you go? Just how fast is safe? Join us this Saturday on the Saturday Special from 10 a.m. to noon with host MZ as we have a representative from the California Highway Patrol and one from the Sheriff's Department as we answer your traffic-related questions right here on your Where's Larry Wilcox and Eric Castrada When You Need Them radio stations, AM 1080 and 1340 KSCO.
Well, that was the first lie. That was the first lie in that promo. MZ is not here. MZ surrendered his authority of a crossfire interviewer to yours truly, Ambassador of the New World Order, Cyril Watomski. I am not in the ambassadorial capacity, though, by the way. Just sitting in for MZ, and I'm going to bring you... Yeah, again, this is a cultural... I'm culturally insensitive, but then I also was not born... In America, so I didn't recognize the music until somebody told me. The music that was in the promo, that it was supposedly from a TV show called Chips. So we'll bring you those guys, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Saturday Special. Let me introduce a person, first a person that has been here many times, either in person or on the phone, interviewed Kim Allen with the Sheriff Department. With that's the Sheriff Department.
Yeah, Santa Cruz County Sheriff.
Santa Cruz County Sheriff. And Dennis?
Jason.
Jason Morgan.
That's right.
With CHP. And you are the chairman of the CHP, the director, president?
No, I'm the officer, one of 54.
One of the 54 officers. You'll have to stick closer to the mic when you talk. You know, in the industry we call it eat the mic. Nothing salacious about that. It's just an industry term. So, ladies and gentlemen, I don't know what they called me yesterday and said, "Why don't you sit in for Z because Z is in Tahoe?" Well, so I decided, okay, well, right, why? I had only nice experiences in 13 years being in this country. My first experience with CHP was, and I was telling Jason in the corridor that. Maybe 10 years ago, when a uninsured Mexican girl in a big uninsured boat-looking Oldsmobile, I think it was, rear-ended somebody that rear-ended me, and then we're sitting waiting on that bridge over the Capitola, right over Knob Hill in Capitola, with traffic probably piling up all the way to it was right during the commute, and then there's a CHP officer. And he wears a bow tie. You know, I come from Russia, where police and the equivalent of CHP usually congregate around streets, and they, you have those batons, and they just pull over people and harass them for money. And then there's that professional guy riding the motorcycle with a bow tie. I was totally shocked. That was my first experience with the CHP. The second one was. When I was driving, a little bit excessively on Highway 1. Probably 11 o'clock during the day, weekday, nobody around there. There was some guy, you know, one of those types that drive on the two-lane road. They drive 55 or maybe 50. But when they get to the passing lane, they speed up big time. I don't know whether that's instinctively they do it or they just don't want me to pass them. So in order to pass this guy, I had to drive, you know, about probably 70. And naturally, the luck of the Russian, which is much worse than luck of the Irish, the CHP comes over, pulls me, cost me $100-some for that. That was it. That was it. Yeah, and so I thought I will find out what actually is going on those roads. Fair question Rosie was asking. How far into the left lane, in the opposite lane, can you go on Highway 9 to pass a bicyclist?
You can't.
You can't?
No, sir, you can't. There's only a couple of exceptions for crossing over WL lines. One is to make a left-hand turn into a driveway. One is to make a left-hand turn into a public parking lot. And the other is to make a U-turn if it's acceptable to do so in the area.
So the bicyclist, I mean, we're talking about a bicyclist. We're not talking about a motorbike. We're talking about somebody on, you know, so even, you know, all right, you know, let's start splitting hairs here.
Okay.
Is that just touching the okay, we have two lines, right? And double yellow.
That's correct.
Just touching the closest one to you, is that okay?
No, it's not. Actually, that
even
is a
touching
violation.
It, no, okay.
Even touching it, yes.
Oh, cool.
But Highway 9 is a state route, so the lane is 12 feet wide. And your average bicyclist isn't going to be more than 2 feet wide.
Yeah.
And the average car is about 6 to 7 feet wide. So that leaves you plenty of room to maintain your lane and still get around the bicyclist, unless the bicyclist is out further into the lane than it's supposed to be.
So, okay, and then if the bicyclist is further out, how far can the bicyclist be in the lane?
The bicyclist is going under the posted speed limit. It has to maintain the right half of the roadway, which means as close to the right edge of the road as possible.
So, but he doesn't, there is no limitation. Because I remember in the Soviet Union, when I was riding a bike, it was a meter off the edge of the road that you can, you know, the bicycle, and if you go beyond that you could legally be run over.
Right. In California, you cannot be legally run over. But
Just kidding. I guess I have to make all kinds of disclaimers here. Everything that you hear on this program from Cyril, and, you know, don't quote Cyril on anything. Quote Jason.
Don't quote me either.
Right, okay. Well, quote Kim here. He's,
oh, why not?
Why not? Yeah, he's being quoted all the time.
They usually do.
They do it all the time. So, what, ladies and gentlemen, if you have questions, and I assume that you have questions for law enforcement here. We have the prime law enforcement. We have the sheriff, and we have the CHP here. And I don't know, why didn't they ask Richard Quigley to sit in and
well, I'm sure Richard's listening and he'll call in.
But, you know, the
which is fine.
Oh yeah, and he has been a host here recently for a number of months already. And interesting thing was that I was talking to him. He was sitting on his one of those, you know, the new Harley that he got, you know, 99 or something, you know, computer controlled or whatever, and, you know, fixer upper though, we were talking about law enforcement, and he said that CHP, as it exists now, is the best police force, law enforcement force, that has ever existed on this planet. Hearing that from Richard Quigley...
That's what he tells us.
But I have to agree with that.
You have to agree with that?
Jason agrees, and he tells us the same thing.
I think it's true. Telephone numbers, if you would like to ask questions of Jason Morgan from the CHP, and he might even whistle the tune from the Chips. And Kim Allen from the Sheriff's Department, 479-1080, 477-1340. This is a Saturday special. My name is Cyril Watomski. I'm sitting in for Z. Well, we're not going to be talking about new callers today, that's for sure. All right, we have somebody calling in, Rich in Santa Cruz. Rich, welcome to the Saturday special with the Chips.
Yes, good morning. I was calling about a question about the people walking in the crosswalk. I've experienced coming up to the crosswalk, people almost jumping off the curb. I have practically slam on my brakes. Now, what is the... Can you clarify all that for me?
Certainly. The marked crosswalk, pedestrians do have the right-of-way as long as they don't impede your right-of-way. So, which means if you've come to a stop at the crosswalk and they're not in the crosswalk yet, you technically have the right-of-way.
Well, I'm talking about driving on the road, and I'm driving, the car is moving, and they start walking across, and usually without even looking.
Well, then the pedestrian does not have the right-of-way.
And sometimes I mention it to them. I said, hey, watch where you're going. We have the right-of-way. I'm in the crosswalk.
Well, that's what I thought, that the pedestrian in the crosswalk has a right-of-way and also has a right of the middle finger. No?
No, the pedestrian has to yield the right-of-way to vehicles approaching the crosswalk that can be a hazard. If you're far enough back and the pedestrian enters the crosswalk and you have enough time to come to a safe stop, then the pedestrian technically has the right-of-way. However, they can't leap out in front of you or enter the crosswalk when you're close enough to constitute a hazard. They're in violation.
There was one case in I read about in San Jose that there was a lot of pedestrians being hit by cars because they're walking along, maybe they're having a conversation, and they just thinking, well, here's a crosswalk, I'm safe, I can just walk. And people were getting hit. And to correct the problem, they erased the crosswalk. And so now people had to actually look to see if cars were coming.
Well, Rich, then it will be jaywalking, wouldn't it?
Rich, this is Kim Allen from the Sheriff's Office. I think you know what the essence of all this really is. You know, whether it's a failure to yield pedestrian right-of-way or unsafe lane change or otherwise, is that, you know, human life is paramount. And in order for us to coexist, especially in Santa Cruz County with the congestion that we have here, we have to really be looking out for each other. And regardless of what the rules may say, it doesn't mean it gives you the right to accelerate and run somebody over because you've got right-of-way and they don't. I think the real focus that we here in this small community with jam-packed roadways, commute traffic, we've never had a born race here. I'm telling you, it's changed so dramatically, and it's very frustrating. It's for us all to count to 10 and calm down and try to cooperate with one another.
Well, this country is the paradise when it comes to driving and when it comes to being a pedestrian and relationship between drivers. It is no other country has anything even closely resembling the civility, and even you're talking about congestion. Have you been to Moscow by any chance?
No, I haven't.
that's congestion, and that is when you have a six-lane road where lanes are not marked, and everybody can do whatever things. That is where it's a really nut house. Rich, anything else you have?
No, I just wanted to say it's just very frustrating to have people just automatically walking out into the crosswalk with actually not even looking. You know, that's really the frustrating part.
Yeah, but I'm surprised that we don't have a right of way and right of running them over. Okay, well, never mind. I'll tell you what frustrates me in terms of traffic, and I really seriously request that you guys do something about it. It's really bizarre. You know, you go on the Highway 17. Yeah, I spent 1 year commuting to Lockheed way back in the mid-90s. It wasn't that bad at that time, still commute. What I noticed that there is... First, I thought maybe there is way too many Australians and Brits and Japanese in this area that commute over the hill. Because you go on the Highway 17, everybody and their mama are on the left in the left lane, in a high-speed lane. So, you know, smart guy as I am, I usually would stay in the right lane, and it wouldn't really be a big hassle of a commute. But why is that?
It's the tractor trailers that are in the number two lane, and they're going very, very slow. So when a motorist approaches them, they immediately get in the number one lane to get around them, and predominantly want to stay in that lane.
Why do they stay there?
Well, because Highway 17 is commonly used for tractor trailers all day long, so they know that they're going to be up there in the right-hand lane. So why put yourself in a position where you're going to get stuck behind one? Move over into the left lane and stay there.
But that's not good. That's not considerate. And it's just plain outright dumb as far as I'm concerned, because it takes them twice as long to get over the hill in the left lane than it takes me behind the tractor trailer. But is there a rule that left lane is for passing only?
No, this state doesn't have a left lane for passing only.
So it's only on interstate highways?
No, in California there is no law that says you can't use the left lane for anything other than passing.
So I don't have the right or middle finger when I see a guy on the highway, say 260. What's that? 680, 280, those ones. You know, four or five lanes one way. Nobody ever at all anywhere except one guy in a big pickup truck driving in the left lane. That's okay.
That's okay. He can be there as long as he's going at the maximum speed limit in that case, or the posted speed limit. He can be in any lane he wants to be in.
Okay. There's another question. Another question that I had arguments and with some of my European friends. On the highway, can you, in this situation, for example, that pickup truck, and he's driving, say, five, let's make it total illegal, 5 miles below the speed limit, can I pass him to the right of him, on the lane that is to the right? Because in Europe, you can't.
If you're going the maximum speed limit,
yes.
And the pickup truck's not, and it's to the left of you?
Yeah.
As long as you don't go over the maximum speed limit?
Yeah.
You can pass.
Okay. Is there any waiver of the maximum speed limit? If somebody is going, say, let's take a my situation with the when I was fined 10 years ago. Highway 1. Somebody gets to the point where there's a passing lane, and that person drives 2-3 miles below the speed limit. Can I exceed the speed limit by 1-3 miles an hour just to pass him?
You can, but you may be cited as well.
Well, I understand. You know, I'm linguistically challenged, so I'm using the word can where I guess I should have used the word may. And, yeah, okay, that's a good lesson to learn. Yeah, I can, but yeah, and that's exactly what I did.
You know, you touched upon something that was interesting at the beginning of the program that I want to address. And I kind of call it, now that the movie Seabiscuit's out, I don't know those who've seen it, it's a great film, but the horse itself, when it would approach another horse that was ahead of it and it eyeball it to eyeball, then it would kick in fifth gear and win the races, right? And that's what its motivation was. And the same dynamics goes on the roadway. As you go to pass somebody who's going slow, invariably when they eyeball you, they'll speed up as you're trying to get around them. And I myself can never understand that mentality, but it really is kind of a competitive human condition. And I think a lot of the problems that we have out on the roadway have to do with interpersonal relationships and ego and attitude. And
macho.
Oh, yeah.
Macho.
And we use our cars as these metal cylinders in which to hide in, that we can be this absolutely obnoxious, disrespectful person. Yeah, but it ceases to amaze me. I mean, people, my kids make fun of people picking their noses in their cars because they think when their cars, nobody's watching them, you know?
And That's right.
I mean, people that are listening to this out there will agree with me, I'm sure. And there's a certain dynamics that goes on daily in this little subculture of being a motorist.
Exactly.
And I think that, you know, a lot of this road rage, look at the accidents that we have and the road rage, people pulling guns on people, shooting people, leaving them on the side of the road dead, for heaven's sakes, here. The restaurant owner from over in San Jose did just that and left a man on the side of the roadway there in Capitola after a road rage incident and shot and killed him. You know, I mean, that's what the real issues are with our traffic problems. And we can cite people and we can tow cars and we can argue the vehicle code all we want. But the fact of the matter is, until we address our behavior behind the wheel of a car that's very animalistic and testosterone driven or fueled by alcohol or otherwise, we're not going to really make a whole lot of headway, especially in Santa Cruz County with this patchwork infrastructure of a roadway that we have here that worked fine for my parents when in the 40s and 50s, but now it's just so overgrown that it's turned into this insane event every time you want to go from Santa Cruz down to Aptos and back.
Yeah, that's true. But, you know, well, in the first place, who would want to go to Santa Cruz anyway? But you know, I
come
don't.
On, that's my hometown.
All right, I'm sorry. Well, I'm an Aptosian, so we stand for Aptosians there. Interesting, I just came back from England in May, and I decided that I would drive there, and then I got into, you know, rented a car and were driven on the wrong side of the road, sitting on the wrong side of the car, which was actually very, when you adjust to that, that was fine, and it took me a couple of hours really to adjust to that, and that after that was fine. What really amazed me is that on all of those motorways there, you will never, ever see a car in the fast lane when there is a room for it to be in the slower lane. It just does not happen. People do not stack in the left lane. I guess the only car around the area where I was driving was myself, forgetting that I was not in California and I was in UK. And actually, I got a couple of flashes, and they didn't try to pass me on the slower lane, because I guess that's illegal as well. But another pet peeve of mine is, how illegal is it to make a right turn without using your blinker?
How illegal?
Yeah.
I know it happens all the time in this county.
Well, it happens all the time in this country.
Yes, it does. You are required to signal for your turn at least 100 feet before you make your turn. That's the law.
And if you don't, it's actually a citable offense?
Yes, it is.
And I think that's very important, too, because it frustrates me when people don't have the courtesy to turn on the turn signal if they're going to turn.
That's right.
It prevents accidents. It's just a little maneuver. But it just adds to the arrogance of the drivers, mm-hmm. oftentimes,
exactly,
that we
exactly
have to experience.
Exactly. That,
you know,
and that
my
is the
car,
problem.
My road, my yeah. way, my day, you know.
That's
total
right.
disregard for the people. I mean,
all right. Okay. How about we take a call from Margaret here in Santa Cruz. Margaret, welcome to the Saturday special.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, driving is a lot of the crimes on the highway and streets are my pet peeve. I just really am frustrated by it. For the officer, 100 feet, what would be the 1 second rule rather than the 100 foot rule? So for instance, I understand you should signal 3 seconds minimum before you actually turn the vehicle. That way, if there's a skateboarder, a bicyclist, a jogger, anything behind you that you probably haven't noticed in your mirrors, that the 3 seconds is adequate for them to see you.
Well, there's no maximum on how far in advance you have to activate your signal. So you could activate it a mile ahead of time.
A mile ahead of time?
There's no maximum. That's
a mile ahead of time.
There's a minimum of 100 feet, and that's it. There is no established maximum distance for you to activate your turn signal.
But that's inappropriate, turning a signal on a mile ahead of time.
You know, I'm kind of guilty of that myself. I tend to turn my turn signal on too early because I'm afraid I'm going to forget. So it's probably me that's doing it to you.
And that's sometimes just as bad as not turning it on at all, because then people get complacent with you having your turn signal on, and then after a while come to think that you're probably not going to turn. And
well,
then
of course.
You hit it with your knee or something, you know.
Or you're not turning, and they pull out in front of you, and you hit them because they thought you were turning.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's true.
So a mile is not appropriate, and I know you were just saying that.
Well, but since there's no regulation on that, you cannot cite Kim for turning his signal way too early. Huh?
That's correct. There's
okay.
So in other words, never trust a signal, period. Even though the signal says it's turning, you really shouldn't
trust it. If the driver in front of you that uses a signal is a Russian, then you can trust him.
No, she's got a good point. Never rely on the fact that somebody does have their signal on or just turned it on to mean that they are going to turn.
Good point.
That's a very good point.
Okay, what is considered too slow on the freeway? For instance, if it's a 65 to 55, and I've got three other little questions too after this, if
sure.
I may. So what is like considered too slow? Because I enjoy driving about 52.4 miles an hour, you know?
We rebuild the piano here?
I do. It's just the best most comfortable speed for me for many reasons. So what is considered too slow?
It really does depend on the freeway and the maximum speed limit posted for that freeway. Now, most of them here are posted at 65.
Mm-hmm.
52 might be a little slow. As long as you maintain the right-hand lane, mm-hmm. you are allowed to go under the maximum speed limit on the freeway. You can't be in the left-hand lane because you'll be impeding traffic. But as long as you're in the right-hand lane, it may be a safety issue. Like some of the freeways we have here have curves and dips. If you're in a dip that has limited visibility for traffic behind you and they're going 65 and you're doing 45 or 50, they may not see you until it's too late. So if you're going too slow, it could be a safety issue and you could get stopped. So
that's what George W. Bush was cited, arrested for, as far as I remember. Only later they found out that he was drunk.
Oh, that's not good.
Well, that was a long time ago.
I just, you know, with the stop-and-go traffic and the tailgaters and people always cutting in and all this stuff going on, I just find it a much more calming, easier speed for me to maintain on Highway 17 or Highway 1, you know. So that's why I've found myself doing that. Where can someone find the laws and find the court or the violation costs for the fines?
The Santa Cruz Sentinel just 2 days ago had a section, Ramona Turner, who does her traffic section, did a whole piece on all the fines and whatnot.
Mm.
In fact, I cut it out for my office because that's real nebulous material to track down, and it's right there, and it's all up to date, and she's an excellent reporter. So I suspect she's fairly accurate in her assessment. Let me see if Pete could comment on that.
Okay, so what day was that?
2 days ago.
2 days ago?
Yeah.
You can also find the information down at the county building,
mm-hmm.
the traffic division, and I'm sure you can find it in the law library, which is right next to the traffic division, which is down in the basement.
Is there a website, you know, the whole code is posted?
There is a website for the vehicle code. It's california.gov codes, and it lists all 29 codes in California. You just click on the one that you want to see, but it doesn't give the particular fines or bail amounts for each violation.
Oh, okay.
Just two other real small questions.
Okay.
How much time does it take to write a ticket?
That will depend.
on the average, from what to what?
If you have all of your information with you at the time, and depending on how many violations you're being cited for, it could take about 10 to 20 minutes.
Okay. And, boy, I wish there'd be more cops giving
tickets. I could say something funny right now, like, how long does it take to write a ticket? Depends on how much deficit we have in the budget.
That was very good. Margaret, thank you very much for your
call.
That's
just a joke.
But one more question, please.
Okay, all right.
Why, this, you know, people come up to me and they'll, like, tailgate me dangerously close, trying to, like, you know,
hit the brake,
drive faster.
Hit the brake.
Can I report that?
Yes, you can.
Okay, and I report, and you will do something about these road ragers that do this?
Absolutely. If we're in the area,
okay.
Our dispatch center will dispatch us to the area. If you can get a vehicle description and
okay.
a license plate number.
Yeah.
Don't forget that the license plate number in the mirror is way around.
Yes. Okay. And then what will you do to them?
If we can catch them,
yeah.
and you're willing to give your name and phone number where you can be contacted,
uh-huh.
And you do believe that their driving is reckless,
uh-huh.
you can personally file charges for reckless driving.
Mm.
So that's
and
not
that's
okay,
a wicked
so that the
ticket.
Person would sue, not CHP.
That's correct.
No ticket.